This morning I'm going to preach a sermon I've entitled, Nothing Shall Be Impossible Unto You. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. This is a type of sermon that I would normally preach on Sunday night. But every now and then the Sunday morning crowd needs a Sunday night sermon. You know, the Christian life is a life that's dependent on faith. It starts in faith. The Christian life starts in faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 7, "God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And then it says in Romans 10, 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Every person is given enough faith by God to believe the Bible when the Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have enough faith given to you by God that dealt to every man the measure of faith to believe that you're a sinner. Every person has enough faith to believe the Bible when it says the wages or penalty for sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from our Creator God. The one that made us. The one that wants to have a relationship with us. The wages of sin is separation from Him. Every person has enough faith to believe the Bible when it says, "For God so loved the world. And He commendeth or proved that love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everybody has enough faith given to them by God to believe the Bible when it says, yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everybody has enough faith given to them by God to believe the Bible when it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." If you're here today and you have not started the Christian life, if you're here today and you have never been saved, it's not because you're too bad of a sinner for God to save. Paul said, wrote, he says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And Paul said, "I'm the one who killed Christians. I'm the one who persecuted the church. I'm the one who did so much to tear down the gospel." And he said, "If God can save me, He can save you." And so if you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's not because you're too bad of a sinner for God to save. And it's not because you don't have enough faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith that's needed to believe the Bible. If you're here this morning and you have not started the Christian life, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's because you have refused the gift that God offers to every person. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if that describes you this morning, I urge you, I beg you, take what God offers to every person. Choose life over death. You've been given enough faith to believe the Bible when it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you ask Him to save you this morning, He will. So the Christian life starts in faith. The Christian life is lived in faith. The Bible says, one time in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. It says the only way to please God as we live this life is by faith, because it says in the book of Romans, without faith it's impossible to please Him. And then, and I'll have more to say about this middle part, it forms the bulk of my message this morning, but let me just go ahead and say, the Christian life ends in faith. It takes faith to believe that Jesus is coming again and will rapture His church. It takes faith to believe that He'll come the second time and set up His 1,000-year rule and then fight Satan and throw him into the bottomless pit forever and ever and ever. And it takes faith to believe that one day we will go to heaven, those of us that have accepted Christ, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so the Christian life is wrapped up in faith. And most of us don't have trouble with the beginning or the end. Most of us that are here this morning are Christians. We've been born again through faith into Jesus Christ. So we've been saved. And most of us here this morning believe that one day we will go to heaven. We don't have any trouble with that. We're looking forward to heaven. Can't wait to get there. Don't want to go on the next bus, but I can't wait to get there. And so we don't have any trouble at the end. We don't have any trouble at the beginning. But some of us have trouble in the middle, living by faith. You say, just a minute, preacher. I have enough faith to live in faith. I believe the Bible when the Bible says God's not going to put on me any more than I can handle. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe the Bible when it says that He will provide my every need through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Good, that's good. I'm glad you got enough faith to believe those two promises, but this morning I want to stretch your faith. I want to stretch your living faith. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in our text. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Can you imagine that? To have the kind of faith to go up to a mountain and say, I don't think you should be here. I think you should go over there. Move. And the mountain move. You say, oh, that's impossible. Stuff like that never happens. And yet Jesus ends that verse and says, and nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's the kind of faith that we need to have to live the Christian life. And that the kind of faith that says there is nothing impossible. In Matthew 17, from where we read, Jesus and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, were coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Up on that mountain, Jesus had changed. His face became shone like the sun. His garment became brilliant white. Moses and Elijah was there. There was a bright cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of that cloud, the voice of God that said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. They came down from that mountain. Jesus was met by a man. That man knelt on his knees before Jesus and said, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. He's sore vexed. He falleth into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus said, bring him to me. Bring your son to me. And when that boy came, Jesus rebuked the devil that was in him. The devil left, and the child was cured. Jesus and his disciples left. The disciples came to Jesus and said, how come we couldn't do that? How come we couldn't cast out that devil? And Jesus says, because of your unbelief, because of your lack of faith. Most of us are like the father in this story and like the disciples in this story. This story is also told in the book of Mark, chapter 9, only there's a little bit more there. Again, the father brings the son to Jesus. He tells him what the problem is. And the father says to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything, please have compassion and help my son. And as it's recorded in the book of Mark, Jesus said to that father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we, like the dad, sometimes say, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. There's part of me that believes you can, but there's a part of me that says this is impossible. It can't be done. I need you to help that part. That part of me that says it's impossible. It can't be done. And if we're honest, there are times in our life where we know that God is a miracle-working God, that we know that nothing's impossible for God. But when we come across situations, we say, there's no way that God can do this. There's just no way that God can do it. The disciples were the same way. They couldn't do it because they didn't have enough faith. And over in the book of Luke, chapter 17, they actually asked Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. Give us more faith so when this situation or a situation like it comes up again, we'll have enough faith to help somebody in need. And in that chapter, Jesus gave them some things that they could do. Luke chapter 17, some things that they could do to increase their faith. And so again, I know that you have living faith. You believe the promise that God will never put more on you than you can handle. You believe the promise that He'll supply all your needs. But you also need to believe the promise that nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus said when He gave the Holy Spirit, when He was getting ready to go to heaven, He told the disciples, they were reviewing all the wonderful things that He had done on this earth, and He says, you're going to do greater. You're going to do greater things than I've done. I'm going to go back to heaven, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and you're going to do greater things than I have done. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Say, how can I increase my faith? Glad you asked. I'm going to give you four ways you can. Number one, do what He commands us to do. Do what He commands us to do. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 6. You don't need to turn to it, but listen. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus told the story about a master and his servant. The servant worked all day in the field. When that servant comes to the house after working all day in the field, the master doesn't say to the servant, well, you've worked hard, sit down and eat. What the master says to the servant, okay, you've worked all day in the field, now make ready and serve me my dinner, my supper, and then you can eat after I get done. When all that is done, does the master say to the servant, does he thank him? No. What he says is, you've done your duty. Was it unreasonable for the master to say that? And what Jesus is teaching is in this passage of Scripture is, no. It is not unreasonable for a master to give a servant that kind of command. Not unreasonable for a master, even after the servant has been working in the field all day, to say, fix my supper, and then when you serve me, you can eat. Because that is the duty of the servant. That is the duty of the one that serves. The servant does not question what his master tells him to do. He does not question whether he can do it or not. He just goes ahead and does it. He goes ahead and does what the master tells us to do. God wants us to understand. Listen to me. He wants us to understand when we quit viewing His commands as impossible for us to do and get about doing them, then we can do the impossible. Then we will have the faith to do the impossible. Let me give you just three examples. The Bible says that we ought to read and study this book. Talked a little bit about in Sunday school. Read and study this book every day. Spend time in this book. Read it, study it, memorize it. And we say, well, that's impossible. I have more important things to do. I don't have enough time to be a Bible student. That's the preacher's job. That's the Sunday school teacher's job. I don't have time to spend time in the Word of God. And if that's what you're saying this morning, I'll just tell you, you're too busy and you need to revise your schedule. It's not my sermon, but just throw it in for nothing. Jesus says in this book, pray without ceasing. Pray without... Oh, I can't do that. I haven't got time to pray without ceasing. You know, we sang that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How many of you spent an hour in prayer any day this week? Some of you did. But most of us would have to say, oh, no, I didn't, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. I don't have time to spend an hour in prayer. I don't have time to pray without ceasing. That's impossible. This book tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, if I was preaching this sermon on Sunday night, I would say, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd because you're here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Hey, I'm preaching to the morning crowd this morning, and you know that verse that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, applies to Sunday night, and it applies to Wednesday night, just like it applies. See, I mean on Sunday night. You that only come in the morning don't know that. But you know that verse applies on Sunday night and on Wednesday night just like it does on Sunday morning. It's just not a Sunday morning verse. It's an every time the church door is open kind of verse. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. And we say, oh, I can't do that. I got too much to do. There's things to do on Sunday night. There's things to do on Wednesday night. I can't come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's impossible. And yet, we think nothing about asking God to do the impossible when we ask Him to fix our marriages and straighten out our kids and help us get a job and fix my finances. We don't think anything about that, how impossible that is when we ask God to do those kind of things. And let me just say this morning, don't expect God to do the impossible until you have enough faith to do what He says to do in this book. His commands are not unreasonable. It's our duty. They are not impossible. God says, all you need is faith like a grain of mustard seed, just a little bit of faith to do the things that I have done. And when you do that, your faith will grow. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Second thing, I got to hurry. Second thing, not only do what He tells us to do, number two, use the talents that He has given us. Use the talents that He has given us. In Matthew chapter 25, familiar story. A master is leaving the country. He calls three of his servants in. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, according to their abilities. So he goes away. He comes back. He calls the servants. Give an account of what you did with what I left you. The first one who got 5 said, I turned the 5 into 10. The second one who got 2 said, I turned the 2 into 4. The servant who got 1 says, I was afraid. I hid it. Here it is. And you know what the master said. But that servant represents many of us. What he was saying is, I know you gave me this talent because you gave me, also assessed my ability and knew I had the ability to use it. But I was afraid. I did not have enough faith to use the talent that you gave me, and so I hid it. And there are many Christians today that don't have enough faith to use the talent that God has given them. They're afraid. They know that God made them. They know that God gave them certain abilities. And they know that God gave them talents consistent with those abilities. But they say, oh, no. God must be wrong because I can't do that. Because they don't have enough faith to use the talents they have. You know what? There will be a whole lot more people singing in the choir. There will be people lined up and say, I want to teach a Sunday school class. There will be people lined up and say, we need more tracts because they're all gone because we passed them out. I got 2 more calls this week from Myers and Walmart. Please tell your people to quit putting tracts in our store. And I say, I've talked to them 100 times. They're just stubborn people. I'll talk to them again. And then I go to the people and say, keep it up. Now, no, I hope nobody knows the manager at Walmart or Kmart or else I'm in deep trouble. But listen. How can we expect God to use us to do the impossible when we don't have enough faith to use the talents that He has given us? You say, preacher, you're mean. I know this is a Sunday night sermon. I'm mean on Sunday night. Ask the people that come. So what I'm saying this morning, if you want to do what Jesus said and be able to do the impossible, do what he says, use the talents that he's given you, and then number three, believe that you can do it and just do it. I'm not talking about positive thinking, I'm talking about faith. Go back to the city of Jericho, you know, where God gave Joshua that plan. Yeah, march around the city one time, day one, two, three, four, five, six. On day seven, march around seven times, blow the trumpet, have the people shout, and the walls will fall down. So Joshua tells all the soldiers that. How many of you think that they believe that it would really happen? Come on. They were people just like us. Don't you think there was a large majority of soldiers in that army? Oh, this will never work. This is crazy. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But God told Joshua to do it. Joshua told us to do it. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're just going to have enough faith to do it regardless of what happens. They march around 13 times. And sure enough, on day seven, when the trumpets blow and the people shout, the walls fall down flat and people, and they all said, wow. Look at what God did. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Don't you think we ought to have enough faith to just, when God tells us to do something, to just go ahead and do it, whether we think it's going to work or not? Don't you think God knows more than we do? Don't you think we ought to have a little tiny grain of mustard seed that says, okay, when God says to do it, I'm just going to do it. And then number four, we need to depend on God more. Most of us don't realize that we need God. We got food in the refrigerator, and we got gas in the car, a little bit of money in the bank, and say, oh, I'm making it pretty good. I don't need God this week. I don't need God this month. And yet we forget that everything we have comes from God. That's why when we pray, we need to have part of our prayer be thanksgiving for everything that God has done for us. That's why we have testimonies, so that people can share with us what God has done for them, and we can be reminded how good God is. Too many of us are like King Nebuchadnezzar as he walked through the palace that day and looked at everything that he had made and said, look at all that I have done. When we need to walk through our life and say, look at all that God has done. I want you to stretch your living faith. I believe when Jesus said to his disciples that he's saying the same thing to us, nothing, nothing shall be impossible unto you. It only takes a little grain of faith, like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed of all. But if we have that kind of faith in a mighty big God, nothing shall be impossible unto us. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to start your Christian life this morning. You need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Just a second, we're going to stand, sing a song. I'll invite you to come down the aisle. I'll have somebody take the Bible, take the Word of God, and show you the same things that I've talked about and help you ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian here this morning, living faith, yeah, we're okay at the beginning, we're okay at the end. It's in the middle that we need to work on. The living faith. The faith that says, I'll do what God tells me to do. I'll use the talent that he's given me. I'll just do it whether I understand it or not. And I'll depend more on him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Christ, that right now, Holy Spirit, you would show them their sin. You would show them their need for a Savior. And you would show them Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Father, help them this morning to receive that gift of life that you offer to every person. And I pray for the many Christians that are here. Increase our faith. Help us to have more faith in you. And Father, help us to be what you want us to be. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.